Okay, well, thank you, worship team. That was fantastic. So great to see everybody here today. Yesterday, I was able to participate in the parade. It just kept going. I thought, I'm surprised there's people standing in the streets collecting candy because it felt like everybody was in the parade. The things that we were able to collect as a family, I thought Freezies was a good idea because it was so hot. And there was some saltwater taffies and other things handed out. And my kids enjoyed this thing right here, the double bubble was the most exciting thing because what comes inside of it is a joke. And these jokes are amazing, right? There's a picture of some people getting married, and the next part of the joke says, is the part where we eat cake coming up soon? And I know you're thinking this morning, is that how we're going to open the service with a double bubble joke? But we already did it, so that's okay. I am the pastor at the Pentecostal Church, and I wanted to share a little bit about myself because I just moved here, so you understand who I am, and then we'll get to know each other. I'll get to meet you after. In Prince Rupert is where I was born. I went to Conrad Elementary School, and then I went to Charles Hayes Secondary School. And during those years, I actually raced a bike, a BMX bike, here in Terrace and in Kitimat. So if you're about my age and I beat you at BMX, I'm really sorry. It wasn't my fault. My dad got me a really nice bike, and we did well. My grandparents actually grew up in Prince Rupert as well, Tony and Dot Robinson. And they had a summer cabin at Babbing Lake just off of Burns Lake. And they worked in the forestry department. I remember years where we'd go to collect agates on the beach, Babbing Lake, and we'd catch lake trout. It was a great way to be raised, to kind of grow up. After high school, like many of us from small communities, we want to move somewhere else. I went to Vancouver Island. I went to Nanaimo. And I became an assistant manager at Walmart. And don't hold that against me. It was a great time, great 8 years. I went to stores like Nanaimo and Burnaby and Surrey and Victoria. And I ended up in North Vancouver where I met my beautiful wife, Amelie, who's here with me this morning. We met at Lynn Valley Full Gospel Church. It's in the Lynn Valley area of North Vancouver. And we also happened to work at the same mall, Capilano Mall. She worked there at the clothing store. I worked in the retail at the Walmart store. We got called. We moved up to Whitehorse where we spent close to 16, almost 17 years. During that time, we started having children. We started having, you know, my son Moses, my son Emmanuel, and my daughter Celeste and Vivian. So I have four kids. And I got the opportunity to come on staff at a church called Bethany Church. Have you ever been to Whitehorse? Bethany Church, a great church, growing church, thriving church. And I received my ordination through the Assemblies of God. I did correspondence studies for 8 years because I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't feel like getting hired on at a church saying, hold the job, I'll be back in 5 years, and then, you know, we can move forward. But did correspondence for 8 years. Lived up there again for 16, 17 years, and then I just got called this Christmas to move here to be with you. Super excited to be here. Yeah, there we go. I was waiting for something. Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, any kind of a smart device, let's open them up together. We're going to jump into the book of Hebrews chapter 11. You saw Claire this morning do a wonderful job with our kids talking about faith out of the book of Hebrews. And I also want to kind of bounce off of that. Let's just close our eyes. Let's bow our heads together just for a moment before we read Scripture. God, this morning we thank you for the authority that this book holds. We thank you, God, that as we speak the Word of God in the spiritual realm, things are changed. We thank you, God, that this morning as we proclaim the Word of God, your presence will be here. It will influence this community in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 11, we jump into verse 1. It says this, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And we would read in the rest of chapter 11 of Hebrews that people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph were commended for their faith. And this morning, I'm not sure where our faith is at, but I'm going to challenge you with it. It goes on to say, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. See, God did something miraculous. He took nothing and he made something out of it. And I don't know about you and your story. I don't know you personally, but did you feel like you were nothing and God made you into something? That's a miraculous sign. That's what happened here. So we read stories about it and we have one amen. So it happened at least one time. So that's great news. And it reminds me of verses that speak about the fact that God was made, has made it clear to everyone through his creation. Through what is visible, we can see God's hand at work. Let me read a scripture here. We're going to spend a lot of time here in the book of Romans. So Hebrews was great, but now we're going to go to Romans. Romans chapter 1, we'll spend the rest of our message this morning in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Here we go. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that man is without excuse. That's good. God, even through his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature, has made it clear for everyone to see and know God. Through what we see. Hey, let's look around at Terrace. I love this community. I've been here for 7 months. Here's the things that I've seen. I had the privilege of being on the church ministerial, so I get to hang out with all the different pastors. And we got to go golfing the very last ministerial meeting. We're really suffering for Jesus, I can tell, right? You know, here we are golfing. I've got majestic Thornhill Mountain behind me. I've got the, you know, I think it was the 9th hole in front of me, par 5. I step up my thumb, I'm just going to let loose here. It's the last hole. We crushed this beautiful drive. We're playing best ball. I think we birdied the hole. I get up near the front. There's these red-winged blackbirds singing a song. I thought, this is close to heaven. You know, it's got to be somewhere close to there. So I had this great time. And I got to spend a lot of time with the pastors in this community. And they're wonderful people. Might be a good time to say amen because you like your pastor. So what else does this community have to offer that would reflect the image of God? I'm going to share some and we'll have some fun together. We'll laugh at a few of them. What community can claim to have an island? Fairy Island. That's fantastic. They've got great biking trails and hiking trails. And I'm going to walk out on some thin ice just for a moment. World-renowned fishing when it's open. You know, be careful with that one. Where's the CEO? He's going to come pull the plug on me. What? I mean, the fruits and the vegetables, there's so many of them. They're falling on the ground and going rotten. And people are thinking, I don't pick those kind of berries. I only pick the good ones. You know, it's a land of milk and honey. If you knew about gardening, it's a zone 7. It's like, it's a great place to grow fruits and vegetables in this hot, hot weather. What community can claim, and I remember this as a kid growing up, that you still have a one-way bridge. Come on. Like, that's amazing. City council is like, hey, stop that. You know, you got to cut it out. Or that we could say that we still don't have a roundabout. Next year, I don't think we can claim that, but we still can today. Where on God's green earth can you go somewhere and get served 5 scoops of ice cream in like a doggy dish called the heifer? I don't know where you can buy that on the planet. When I put heifer into my sermon, it was underlined red because it didn't know what it meant. Only us, only in Terrace, we know what a heifer is because of that. I'm still trying to work it off, you know. I had to lay down after that. But the list goes on and on, you could say here this morning. What can you think about that has blessed you? What can we look around at and be thankful? Because God has made it so clear to us. As we go out into wilderness, we get lost in the bushes and we look around and we're thinking, this doesn't just happen. It was an accident. God has an intention with what he's made. Let's continue reading in Romans chapter 1. We're going to jump down to verse 21 to 23. It says this, for although they knew God, they never glorified him as God nor gave thanks to God. Do we give thanks to God for the things around us? But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. This morning, I challenged myself with those kind of thoughts to think that, hey, technology is great. I don't know if any smart device really made anybody any smarter. Maybe it made me a little busier. Maybe it distracted me from the things of the Lord. Oh, hey, let's take a picture of all this great stuff, and you know, we'll post it all over the planet and forget to even enjoy it. So there's a smart device for you. We exchange the greatness of our God for earthly pleasures and things made by human hands. Did you know that we're actually not getting smarter, even though technology-wise we are? If you think about taking an IQ test, if you've ever taken one of those, I don't really want to do that. That would, I think, be embarrassing to me. But they've actually had to dumb it down from years ago because we were getting such bad scores. They thought we better make it a little easier. So as technology is going this way, you know, we're going out into the planet, you know, over the stars and, you know, the cosmos, all this great smart devices, all this the equipment we have here today. We don't need an amphitheater for me to be able to speak to you. We're all going that way technology-wise. But in knowledge and deep thinking and wisdom, we're actually going the other way. And in the knowledge of this book, unfortunately, is going the other way. And the sales of this book is actually going, I mean, we could kind of claim it because, you know, well, we're buying it on our devices. But it's a different kind of understanding. It's a different kind of growth. We see, again, technological growth. But I really challenge you, I challenge me, are we growing in our knowledge of our God? Are we growing in our understanding of our God? And sometimes when we hear those kind of thoughts, those challenging thoughts, we think like, whoa, woe is me. You know, this is not a good message. I don't want to hear those kind of things. But there's good news. There's great news. And we're going to keep pressing in to find some good answers here. Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it goes on to say this. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator is for who are forever praised. I think sometimes when we live in a community like this, I used to live in Whitehorse for so many years, it's so easy to just enjoy what you have and forget about God in that time and in those moments, to thank the person for what you have. I think it's sad to say, and this is, you know, we'll stay on the negative track for a moment, and then we'll come back, I promise. But it's sad to think that, in a sense, our country, Canada, that was formed, its foundations and laws and rules and regulations, and why this country is great is because of this book. And I say this so often that so many people around the world are coming to this country because it was formed from this. There's an excitement and a blessing on this country like no other, I really feel like. But we're slowly moving away from this book. It goes on to say in verse 28, therefore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to depraved minds to do what ought not to be done. The world is seriously in trouble. There's no way you can turn on the TV or your smart device and think that we're doing better as a whole society, as the whole globe. And you think that the only way to be able to move forward is to actually move back to the foundations of our God. So to move forward, we got to go back to God. We got to go back to his word. We got to go back to the foundations and understand his word. In verse 32, it says this. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. You see, since the creation of the world, our faith and values have been on a collision course with the world. It's polar opposite. It's absolutely opposite. I have the privilege of reading this book. It's the historical church history that was presented to me, and I'm reading through it of what was happening so many years ago in the church, churches and terrorists. And did you know in 1942, the community was about 400 people, and then 1,000 soldiers and 1,000 construction workers moved to Terrace in 19. It was the biggest boom the community has ever seen. And we know that we hear of projections of like a big boom coming again, a big, you know, expansion. We see lots of people, businesses moving in. We think there's another big expansion coming. And at that time in 1942, they brought in a guest evangelist to the community. And it says here historically that people got closer to God. They got on their knees. They drew closer to God and cried out to God for help and wisdom in the time of growth. And 77 years later, we're standing here today on that same kind of expectation growth. And are we going to draw closer to God in that? And get on our knees before our Heavenly Father and cry out to God and say, give us wisdom, Lord. Give us understanding. Because the community is expecting growth. Are we as churches expecting growth as well? Are we focused on, and I'm guilty of this, focusing on like, oh my word, there's going to be some tough days ahead. Some other things are going to come with this growth. Or is part of our conversation saying, praise God, more people are going to come here. What a greater opportunity to be able to reach more for the kingdom's sake. Amen. It says here, there's a great passage when I think about challenges and hard times, and I think about, am I in the game? Do I want to be a part of what's going on? What's happening? You know, give me some understanding. And in the book of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, it says here in Isaiah 6, chapter 6, verse 8, it says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? You know, who wants to be sent? And who is God calling? And who will go for us, God is asking. And this is what Isaiah said. And I said, here I am, send me. Now watch how he says it. Because yesterday my son was in a soccer tournament. He's in the Davis Cup or something this weekend. And the one team, he was beating the other team. It was kind of honestly a little bit embarrassing. It was really lopsided and I felt really bad. And some of the players were like, okay, I'm injured, get me off. Or I'm like, second half, I'm not going in. I'm sidelined. I don't want to be a part of this punishment anymore. And I looked at those kids and I thought, very similar sometimes, isn't it, when tough times are ahead of us. And when we're going through tough times, I feel like maybe I'll be sidelined in this moment, in this tough time. And I looked at that situation, I thought, I don't want to be on the sideline. Our churches don't want to be on the sideline in tough times. We want to be on the field. We want to be playing. And I don't know, again, your personal story, but for the first 23 years of my life, I tell you, I was sidelined. I didn't want to be a part of anything that the church had to offer. A bunch of rules and expectations and no thank you. But all of a sudden, God got a hold of me and a hold of all of you, and God said, you want to be in the game or not? And I love the idea of, like, what are the requirements to be in the game? Watch this great piece of scripture in 1 Corinthians. So who can be on the team? Who can be a part of what God is doing? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many had influence. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast only in the Lord. I love the fact that it doesn't say that, you know, you got to be wise. You got to be a person of influence. You have to be a person that's got some kind of status, financial status, noble birth. Or you don't have to be strong either. Here's the things that are required to be in the kingdom. You got to be foolish. Sign me up. You have to be weak. He uses the lowly things and the despised things to shame the wise. Those are the kind of people that God picks. I don't know where you are. I'm pretty low at the point. And God says, I will use those things to bring glory to my name. And you may think, let's think about our community and our churches and growth. We're thinking, oh yeah, I believe in all that. It's easy to have faith in that. But what about you personally? What about the situation that you're facing personally right now? Do you have faith in that? That God can do something and use something like that. You're thinking about your past. You're like, ouch. How can God use me? I'm in the church. I'm just kind of saved, but that's as far as it goes. That's where I got to because that's all I feel worthy of. That's all I feel that I can contribute to the kingdom. And I want to share a story with you. Over the years, I obviously get to meet lots of people and counsel people, and they share stories with me, and I have permission to share this story with you today. This is of a young boy who came into this world. His parents, in a sense, were just hanging out in university together, and he was conceived. Dad checks out of the scene. This boy grew up going through a couple divorces, many stepfathers, and his mother had many boyfriends during his upbringing. You know, not an ideal situation. Things were so tough for him that it became some chronic migraine headaches that got him hospitalized. Eczema from head to toe was just awful. No type of medication seemed to bring down any kind of pain that he was facing. At some point at an early age, he left home. He thought, I'm just going to go out on my own and try and figure it out. And he shares this idea with me that he was just so lost and so frustrated that when he would walk by mailboxes, he would just push them over. Because he didn't know how to deal with his anger and his frustration. He would just be upset. And I know that some of us can relate to that near the Pentecostal church because our mailbox is always pushed over. But I get it, you know, we can kind of relate to that sometimes. In all of his frustration, his pain, he turned to drugs and alcohol to support himself and his habit and to escape from his pain. He was arrested several times for lying and stealing and being under the influence and possession of drugs. And I share this story because it makes sense to us here because this is Terrace. This is where Lake House Lake is. This is where May Long Weekend happens. And in 1995, he was arrested and charged with possession of drugs for the second time and possession of a handgun that was later dropped because the fingerprints weren't found on the weapon. He was given a suspended sentence, 4 months probation and 20 community hours. And the judge says, the next time I see you in here, it's not going to go as pretty. He shares a story with me that there's so much more to it. The file is so thick, I don't have the time to share it with you this morning. It's not a fictional story. It's a very true story. And we often talk about the side of ourselves, the side of church, that it's all together and we've got it all together. And then we hear stories about this or we read about this in the newspaper. We don't often introduce ourselves that way and say, hey, I'm all broken and messed up. How are you today? I've got a past. How are you doing? I need some help with that. And when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31 again, it says God doesn't use things that are wise. Doesn't use people that are influential. Doesn't use people that have a silver spoon in their mouth. I shouldn't say it like that. That's terrible. Of course he uses those kind of people too. But I'm just saying, if we come to the table with those kind of thoughts that because I have a silver spoon in my mouth, I deserve something, we need to come again with the right attitude. He uses foolish things and weak things and lowly things and despised things to bring glory to his name. I want you to know that that person's story has a happy ending, though. Because through a bunch of circumstances and situations, that young kid, he got saved. He got water baptized. And he's still serving the Lord today. And I know some of us know people like that, and it's good to know. It's good to be reminded of those things. See, God took the worldly desires away from that kid, and he gave him godly desires. And it was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle what God did for that person. And we read about miracles in the Bible. We got those great stories in Sunday school. We read about the miracles that are still happening today. We know that miracles will continue to happen until Jesus comes again. But we read all of that. And where does it sit with us? Where does it sit with the people around us in our community that don't know him? We have faith and believe that somebody can come out of the situation that they're facing. Do we believe for better days for the people in our community? And I stand here today to tell you that that person is giving you the message today. That boy in that story is my story. See, God took somebody that was all messed up, headed for disaster, and he made something of him. And I don't stand here to boast. I don't stand here to share anything besides the love of God. And sometimes I wonder, as I did when I was a young person, you look up at the pastor and you're thinking, yeah, some pastor's kid, you know, he's got it all together. But I want you to know, you don't have it all together. We have answers. But just like you and I, we've got a past and we've got a story, but God can redeem all of that and bring glory to his name. And we can boast in our God. And I want to pray that we would have faith for yourself, for your family, for your children, for this community, for better days. And that God would do a miraculous thing inside of each one of us. Because God can take anyone. You think of the worst kid, he might be the pastor. So let's pray for them, eh? I'm going to invite the worship team back tonight, or this morning. Oh, it's not tonight, it wasn't that long. But if God could use me, he can definitely use anybody else. I want to share this kind of a closing thought in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. Every one of them, all of them. It's the power of our God. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. When he saw people far from him, he had compassion. Because they were harassed and helpless. They thought there was a bunch of rules and expectations to be in a church. Like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is what? It's ripe. Just like right now, all this fruit, it's ripe. It's ready for the picking. You notice what it doesn't say. I'm going to walk out on some thin ice here. It doesn't say you need money. It doesn't say, oh, this harvest looks good out here, but we're going to need a lot of money to reach people. It doesn't say that we're going to need some bigger buildings. I'm going to be gentle here. You know, correct me later if you want to. It doesn't even say that it's going to need prayer. Isn't that a weird thought? It doesn't even say that. It says the harvest is plentiful. Who's going to go? And Isaiah calls out, I'll go, Lord. I'll go. Are we willing to go? We don't need to go to the ends of the earth. We just need to go across the street in our backyard and our neighbors. We're all right here, lots of people. I should probably finish, though. You guys are hearing. Hey, I want to encourage you, though. There's a wonderful table right here. It's the Gideons. There's a bunch of representations over there, Ron and Linda and Joanne and Graham. And they'd love to pray with you. And maybe you're here today and you're part of church. You got a Bible. You're saved. You're water baptized. You understand the message. But if you're here this morning and you're like, I'm broken and I need help, I'm going to go over there. We've got some free Bibles, some free resources. I'd love to pray with you. I can see Pastor Joel from the Christian Reformed Church moving over there as well. We'd love to pray with you this morning. We'd love to just believe with you that you can be set free and healed. And then for the rest of us, we're going to close with just a few more songs. So let's just bow our heads this morning and close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the authority that it has to speak into our lives and to our hearts. We thank you that it has the authority to change our situation and our circumstances. And we honor you this morning. We want to glorify you in this community. Help us to do that, Lord. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to stand. Let's one last time as we sing these last few songs.